Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Now, nonstop sports talk continues with news and analysis from the lead writer of 1045thezone.com.
Not the hero we deserved, but the hero we needed.
This is the Big Six.
It's going to be huge.
With your host, Jason Martin.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Happy Tuesday. It's the Big Six. It's 104.5 The Zone. Straight up, 6 o'clock on my clock means you need to be here, and you are here. Thanks for being a part of the movement. I'm Jason Martin on Twitter at JMartZone. You can follow me there. You can email me at jmartclone@gmail.com. Our telephone number is 615-737-1045. If you have the confidence that you can talk on the radio, we want to hear from you. And confidence is what I want to talk about tonight. As I tell you, I do not want to waste your time. This is edition number 12, episode number 12 of the Big Six. In our fourth week on the air, confidence is important in life, folks. And it's really important in sports. Obviously, you can look at something like dating and you're not going to ask her out. Or I guess if you're a woman listening, you're not going to ask him out if you don't have at least some level of confidence in yourself. You're not going to nail that job interview. You're going to walk in and you're going to have your head down and you're going to murmur and you're not going to talk with any kind of emphasis and you're not going to get that gig. I wouldn't be here behind this microphone right now hosting the Big Six, writing on 104.5 The Zone at the Big Six blog. I wouldn't have had the confidence to leave the job that if I felt that way, I probably didn't think I deserved in the first place. If I did not have some level of confidence instilled in me that I was worth being behind this microphone and that as an asset, this isn't how I feel, but this is how, at least to some degree, you should think, these people would be foolish not to bring me on board. And I'm going to tell them why. Now, in my case, my confidence used to come from me and that didn't work out real well. My confidence now comes from a larger source, a higher power, someone where nothing is above his pay grade. And as a result, the confidence he instills in me is that I trust in him to do right and to make sure that I'm doing right and to try and take my hands off the steering wheel and let him control my life. And as a result, when this opportunity came around, he told me this is the time and this is the moment and this is where I want you. And thus, I never had any doubt that when I sat down, things were going to work out. You inherently believe when you go to the gym, sometimes you're going to push yourself, that you're going to go for a weight that you've never tried to lift before. You're going to pick up a heavier dumbbell or a heavier kettlebell, or you're going to try and do an extra set, or you're going to push like I did today from a 5.8 on the treadmill to a 6.1 or a 6.3 and see whether or not that you can do that at least for a few minutes. You don't know that you can do it, but you have confidence that you can do it. And you also know in that case that the only way to succeed is to try. If I didn't get at least a sense, at least I felt I had a chance to maybe drop a few pounds, I never would have given up all the crap food that I love so much that was slowly killing me last February. If I didn't believe, like I said, I was positioned right for this job to host this show, to take over writing, if I didn't think I could do it, I never would have gotten the chance to do it. Outside of luck, folks, you can't do much without confidence in this world. I can't be a surgeon because I'm not trained to do so, but nobody could, trained or not, if they didn't think that they wouldn't kill the patient every time. I can't defend somebody accused wrongly of murder because I'm not trained to do so. But if I didn't think I could win and I came out of Harvard Law School, I would either settle or just accept defeat. And so we get to the list of six tonight, the six examples of this confidence that are happening in sports right now in front of our very eyes. One locally that may have come to an end today. And let's begin the list.
Number one,
Jimmy G comments to Bleacher Report on Tom Brady. He said when he arrived in New England on day one, he knew Brady was better than him, but he had to kind of kill that mindset pretty quick. Here's what he told Bleacher Report. I think this was out yesterday. I've always had that mindset. I knew that Brady was better than me in my first day in the NFL. Naturally, you're the rookie. He's the veteran. But you have to have that mindset that you want to be the starter. He talked about him and Brady as if they were brothers playing where both believed they could win. And even if you didn't, you had, quote, a quiet confidence, unquote, that you wouldn't even need to speak of. And then he said of Brady, it's like when I go to New England, when I first got there, I thought in my head, I'm better than this dude. He said he studied Brady and he realized that while he was a junior in high school. And then he said, okay, that's how I should throw. It was a healthy and competitive relationship, pushing each other. You wouldn't talk to the other for a little while, he said. If we're both into it by the end, we're going to hate each other. That's how it is. All the good competitors have that. We got along, but there were always times where we wanted to kill each other. Folks, sometimes we have to tell ourselves we're confident and then let that diffuse through us somehow. We got to make it a habit. And once we do, it can become self-fulfilling, just as dogging yourself can become self-fulfilling. If you're always allowing yourself to be the butt of every joke, and I use this now because I did this for so long. If you allow yourself to be the butt of every joke, if you decide you want to be Conan O'Brien, but you're not Conan O'Brien, so the self-deprecation doesn't really work the same way, what it comes across like is a lack of confidence. It leads to not getting a whole lot of dates. Believe me, I can tell you that. I thought that that would make me the funny guy, the charming guy, whatever it was. It would just be the guy that nobody wanted to talk to of the opposite sex. I used to think it was a great quality and something everybody would like, but really it backfired. So Jimmy G believed as if he dressed for the job he wanted, not for the job that he had.
But don't step at number two.
Julio Jones, betting on himself. Has to be anybody, any other player that you want to talk about. You have to know or believe how good you are. Not even just be told how good you are, but know how good you are in order to reject a lot of money. Julio knows his worth. So does Le'Veon Bell. So does Taylor Lewan. So do a lot of these folks. For better or worse, for some reason, Dez Bryant believes he's something he no longer is. And thus, that guy is still waiting for a team. But any holdout is a risk. And it's also a quiet signal that you trust in your own value and you have confidence in what you possess. Like I said, if I didn't have confidence that I possess something at 104.5 The Zone that this place could use, could benefit from, and could see in me, if they didn't see me as an asset, they weren't going to hire me. But if I didn't believe I was an asset, I wouldn't be able to sell myself to them anyway. And really, when you're talking about business, what else is a sports franchise but a business? What else is camp? What else is showing up and actually making a 53-man roster than nailing multiple job interviews and having a chance to actually show it instead of just talk about it? So when you talk about Julio Jones is betting on himself. Betting on yourself is another example of confidence.
Number three.
Rory McIlroy on Sunday on Tiger Woods. Yeah, I mean, he's not the Tiger that, you know, Phil Mickelson and Ernie Els and those guys had to deal with. It's a different version, McIlroy said. But he's right there. He's right there. He's getting himself in the mix. He's healthy. I wouldn't say we're worried about him, but he's one of those guys that's always in with a shot. So Tiger finishes in a tie for sixth, three strokes behind Molinari. He had possession of the lead in the back nine, and we saw what happened at 11 with the double bogey, and that changed kind of the trajectory of what he was going to be able to do in his round. But for anybody to come out and say that now there's not really a fear factor with Tiger Woods. How many guys from Sergio Garcia to any number of those young guns that would come out and say, I'm not afraid of Tiger Woods? They had confidence, and sometimes confidence can become arrogance, especially when it's too irrational. And when you look at it, you look at what happened to a lot of those players. It took Sergio a long time to win a major. There were a lot of other guys that talked a lot of smack about Tiger Woods, acted real confident, but when it came down to it, did they really believe that they were going to beat Tiger Woods? You talk about how great it is to be at the front of a leaderboard, and then you end up getting paired with that guy when he's wearing a red polo, and all of a sudden you go five over and you're done. You can't just say it. You actually have to believe it. And there is a difference, without question, in that.
I'm number four.
Toronto Raptors are betting on themselves the same way Julio Jones is. If they can't keep Kawhi Leonard, why are the Lakers going to hand them one or more of their young stars to acquire Kawhi Leonard at midseason when they can get him a lot easier after the year? Why would they make a deal when they're not going to beat Golden State anyway, even if they get Kawhi Leonard? So Toronto, though, still feels confident enough, and their front office has come out and said this, that they think that they can woo Kawhi Leonard while he's there into a position where he becomes Paul George staying in Oklahoma City, where he's going to want to stay, where he's going to throw away all of what he said that he has wanted through him and through his intermediaries, that he wants to go to LA and play for either the Lakers or the Clippers. Toronto's betting on themselves. I think Zach Lowe actually wrote an article last week for ESPN.com that even said the Raptors GM is betting on the franchise. If he leaves next year and they haven't been able to deal Kawhi Leonard, and maybe they would deal him elsewhere, they've got Kyle Lowry and a bunch of role players. They've let an all-star leave that team. They let DeMar DeRozan go. Maybe that was the way to get him out of there because they knew they weren't going to win a championship with him there. But you got to have confidence if you're going to let a guy go that wanted to be in Toronto. My good buddy Brandon Hagedy said that last week on the Wake Up Zone. I heard him. He said, you're letting a guy go that wanted to stay in Toronto and would not give the Lakers a meeting. How much confidence does it take if you're the Raptors to let that guy go to bring in a star that's better? Yes. But one that didn't even want to be there. And certainly doesn't sound like he wants to stay there.
Number five.
Kyler Murray. This is ultimate youth confidence, folks. You think you're indestructible when you're 20. Your body's not doing anything weird to you yet. You think you're made of adamantium. You're not Mr. Glass and Unbreakable. That sequel looks cool. But Murray turns down this baseball offer for right now so he can keep playing football at Oklahoma for Lincoln Riley. He has to earn the start, Riley has said. Every down could be his last. This is football. We know it's not safe. Anybody that tells you it's safe is lying or has an interest. Talk to Marcus Lattimore about how safe a pro football career is going to be. Kyler Murray gets his leg destroyed or who knows what else. Hopefully it won't happen. But that could torpedo any chance he has of a baseball career. But as at his age, he wants to keep doing both. And if he wants to do it, that's his prerogative. But to even consider, if you're Kyler Murray, saying not yet and maybe not ever to a possible MLB path where the money is better and the sport is far less physically dangerous, you got to be all kinds of confident. Maybe irrationally so, which is a caveat that we're going to talk about later on in the show. So there are five of the big six as it pertains to confidence. Jimmy G on Tom Brady. Julio betting on himself. Rory saying that players don't fear Tiger Woods anymore. Toronto thinking that they can keep Kawhi Leonard. And Kyler Murray passing on a surefire baseball future to continue playing a more dangerous sport at Oklahoma. The Big Six, you probably already know what it is. You live in Nashville. He's a Tennessee Titan. We're going to lay that out for you next. Don't miss it here. Big Six, 104.5 The Zone. Big Six on 104.5 is on one to let this one play. It's Jason Isbell's wife, Amanda Shires, Eve's daughter, off her brand new album that's not even out yet. I believe it's out next week. I've got mine pre-ordered. Awesome. I'm at JMartZone. Jason Martin is the name. 615-737-1045 if you want to join us. We're talking about confidence tonight. And I laid out five of the big six of the list of six tonight. Jimmy Garoppolo commenting that he believed he was better than Tom Brady fairly early when he was in New England, that he had to, as a matter of fact. Julio Jones betting on himself, as many others do, when they hold out and believe in their value and trust in what people tell them. Rory saying that players on tour see that Tiger Woods has a lot of what he used to have, but they're no longer afraid of him. The Toronto Raptors, who lost Vince Carter, who lost Chris Bosh, who lost Tracy McGrady, letting DeMar DeRozan go to bring in somebody that does not want to be there, that may be, quote, warming up to it, but who has made it pretty clear he wants to go to Los Angeles, betting on themselves that they can convince him that Toronto is where Kawhi Leonard should be long term. And Kyler Murray at Oklahoma, youthful confidence, feeling indestructible, saying no right now to Major League Baseball and millions of dollars because he wants to keep playing college football in the Big 12 for Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. Not realizing, or maybe not caring, believing in himself and his future. That's five. And now the big six. We talked about it yesterday. Kevin Dodd, released now, did not make his report date to camp. He had already missed voluntary OTAs, had been an absolute disaster since the beginning, honestly. Now, I'm not willing to say this guy is a bad guy. I'm not willing to say he's all of a sudden stopped loving football either. I think that's lazy. That doesn't wash with me. It's too easy to say that. I think it boils down to confidence, and that's what I said yesterday, and I did not know that today we were going to talk about confidence. But obviously this story, and I actually decided we were going to do it before we even got here, before we realized he was released. But it came out here just a few hours ago that Kevin Dodd will not be a Tennessee Titan going forward. If you don't think you can do it, let's say you're Kevin Dodd, and this is kind of the way I feel this goes. And look, I don't know. But this is kind of what I told you yesterday, but maybe not exactly the same. But if you don't think you can do it and you're Kevin Dodd, if you sit there and you look at that draft pick of Harold Landry and you look at the rest of that linebacking core and you don't see yourself anymore in that uniform in any kind of meaningful role whatsoever, you are acting like you're at the tail end of your career when you're absolutely not. Or are you? I told you about this earlier. You have to act as if. You have to dress for the job you want, not the job you have. In Dodd's case, he already had the job that so many people want, but he's decided he wants to dress down. He's playing down to his own competition, and I don't think that he realized that that competition is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Nothing, nothing, folks, is more debilitating, more ugly, and more riddled with potential problems than having a newfound lack of confidence that comes about shortly after being told over and over that you're special and that you're going to have this long career and that you're fantastic and how great you are. Think about it. You all of a sudden, you're told that you're the belle of the ball. And then all of a sudden you get injured and you don't think you can do it anymore and you've lost your confidence. Then what do you have left? Let me tell you a story. Again, this is about my health, but this one should make total sense based on what I'm telling you. I think it's really instructive here. When I started to lose the weight last year, after several months, I confided in a friend of mine, wanted some spiritual advice and kind of to see what path he had been down. He was in the media in Wisconsin and actually left the media to chase something else. And he had gotten recently married. And, a lot of things in his life were there that I wanted in my life. And he had lost a bunch of weight before he graduated college. And I didn't know that this was ever going to happen for me, but it did. And I remember the conversation we had where we talked about it. And he said, it's great. It's awesome. It's a blessing from God. It's a gift. which I understood and had already kind of come to that realization about. But then he said something that really stood out to me. He said, not for me to place any of my self-worth in the weight loss. Not to place any self-worth in how I looked then to how I looked, you know, eight months before that point, where I started and where I was. Because if I placed my self-worth, if I placed any piece of my identity in that and something went wrong, not in how I looked, but if I still was not able to find a woman that I wanted to marry or get the job or, you know, be asked to do things maybe otherwise or to be in photos that maybe I wasn't asked to be in the past, whatever it was, if all of a sudden I feel really good, but nothing else has changed, that is when you fall into despair. Think about Kevin Dodd in that context. A guy that everybody, after watching him at Clemson, was just blown away by what they saw, raw talent on the field. That guy then is being told, obviously he's playing for a national champion or somebody that's right there in the, at the doorstep of being a national champion. And he's getting all of this love. And then he comes up and he gets injured early in the NFL. And then he doesn't trust his foot anymore. Not trusting in yourself or in a piece of yourself is not having confidence in it. He didn't have confidence in his foot. He didn't have confidence maybe that he could go the way everybody thinks he should be able to go. And then all of that praise that he got falls by the wayside. He placed, I think, and I don't know that he meant to do this because it can become something that just happens. Some part of his identity was in his stud status as an athlete. And when it was taken from him and he started to have doubts as to whether or not he was going to be able to survive it and thrive and have the career so many wanted for him and so many believed he was going to have, it crushed him. It killed him. It altered him mentally. It changed everything about him. And I think, look, like I said, I could be wrong, but I think confidence is at the brunt, is at the bottom, is at the foundation of this entire problem for Kevin Dodd that led, and it's sad. It's a business, and if you're not going to get it done, eventually you have to cut bait. But nobody wants to see anybody fail. I hate that this experiment did not work. Not because of it was a waste for the Titans or whatever. Because I feel bad for Kevin Dodd. I don't know his situation, but I truly believe whether it was the foot and him just not buying into being able to plant the same, seeing guys passing him by, just feeling like it was not going to happen the way he thought it was going to happen. I think that's a large part of this. And that's why confidence matters. It also matters where you place your confidence and from whom you believe that you got it from in the first place. Not everybody, by the way, and this is really interesting going back to it. Not everybody bought into the Kevin Dodd hype originally. This is fascinating. This is our draft expert. You hear him on 104.5 The Zone a lot. You hear him on Titans Radio as well. This was before the draft in 2016. Mike Dettillier commenting on Kevin Dodd.
Kevin Dodd, similar to Shaq Lawson, one-year wonder at Clemson. You know, again, a guy that is disruptive as a pass rusher. Over 20 tackles for losses last year for Clemson. You might say, well, Lawson took a lot of that heat off of him. All I know in the national championship game with Shaq Lawson, about 70%, Alabama could not block him. He was in the backfield more than Derrick Henry was. Now, he's a rep guy. He's a guy that's going to need some work in what he's got to do as a technician. But Kevin Dodd's got huge upside as a defensive end and especially as a pass rusher.
Pay attention to that, especially the end part. He said off the top a one-year wonder, but then he talked about how Alabama couldn't block him in the national championship game and how he had, quote, huge upside, a ton of potential. What all that means is he has a lot of raw talent. Again, that's what Kevin Dodd heard. That's what he believed about himself. That's where he decided he was going to place a large part of his identity and his self-worth. And then his foot said, uh-uh. And since that point, I think it destroyed his confidence. Confidence matters, whether it's in life, in business, certainly in sports, where the competition and where the machismo is at its highest. And I just don't think Kevin Dodd has the confidence in his ability anymore. And again, I tell you, if you don't think that you can take Harold Landry, if you don't think you can get one of those spots at linebacker, or that you're going to succeed with your hand in the dirt if they move you to the line, if you don't trust that that foot is going to stay there for you the way that you need it to, I don't think it's a matter of not wanting to play football or not loving football. I think, unfortunately, it could be a matter right now of just not loving Kevin Dodd, meaning Kevin Dodd not loving himself. That's sad. It really is. We'll be right back. Big Six, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back, Big Six, 104.5 The Zone, Drive-By Truckers. It's called Outfit, off the Decoration Day album. Definitely one to check out. Going Isbell and Isbell's wife so far tonight. Hope you're enjoying that. I'm Jason Martin on Twitter at JMartZone. We're talking about confidence tonight. I've laid out six examples, the last of which the Big Six. Kevin Dodd didn't come to camp on Sunday. Now he's been released. Is it going to mean much to the Tennessee Titans overall? No. But this was a 33rd draft pick, and it's a huge story, even though it's something that I think not only did we all see coming, it was also something that we all pretty much thought needed to be the order of the day, if not after voluntary OTAs and a seeming lack of desire all of a sudden, or a lack of belief in himself, certainly what we saw on Sunday. In my opinion, Kevin Dodd, and again, maybe we're going to find something else out, but I assume we'd know that by now, or that the team would. But in my opinion, he accepted defeat. He cashed it in. He cut his losses. He handed over all his chips to somebody else, and now he's been asked to leave the Titans table. Our telephone number is 615-737-1045 if you want to sound off on Kevin Dodd and have not gotten a chance already since that news broke. As we're talking about confidence, I thought about somebody else that has confidence and may have gotten it through having a chip on your shoulder. And sometimes that can actually help you. You talk about irrational confidence guys. Nate Robinson, who still exists in the NBA despite his size and one dunk contest. And nobody would take him seriously, but he would take any shot and believe he could make anything. Drew Brees, who bought into himself. Russell Wilson, who bought into himself. Steve Smith Jr. and what he was able to do, and how he shut everybody's mouth with what he did in Carolina for so long, and then later in Baltimore. But I want to go again locally. I want to read from a piece from 2016. I'm not going to tell you who wrote it because it's going to make it obvious, and I kind of want to keep it unobvious until we get to the end. This is one of his teammates. The way he plays, he's almost like an unsung hero out there. As a teammate, I'm a huge fan, but as a general fan too, I think it's easy to relate to a guy like that. He's undersized, but he plays like a big man. That's something I imagine fans really love. Wow, look at this guy. He's really something. It took the NHL a while to give the little guy the smallest of chances. I'm now reading from John Glennon on NHL.com in 2016. Arvidsson first became eligible for the draft in 2012, but was ignored by all 30 teams through seven rounds. The scenario repeated itself during the 2013 draft, with teams more concerned about his lack of size than they were impressed by his big point totals. The snubs only fueled Arvidsson, who made a conscious decision during the summer of 2012 to plug even more juice into his game. When I got up to the Elite League in Sweden, they wanted me to work on my strength and stamina so that I could play at a high level every game and every shift, he said. I worked very hard. I worked really hard, and I think it helped me a lot. Since then, I've been an energy player. Before that, I was kind of an average player. And Glennon writes, the Predators took a chance on Arvidsson in 2014, selecting him in the fourth round. He has achieved ever since. if there is an anti-Kevin Dodd out there, it is somebody like Victor Arvidsson, 5'9", 180, in a physical sport. And yet, not only is Victor Arvidsson still with the Predators, he's making really good money doing so, and he's one of the most popular athletes in the city. Also newly married. Congratulations to him on that. But you think about Kevin Dodd not buying into himself, not believing in himself enough. In my opinion, that's what this comes down to, is a lack of confidence brought on by an unfortunate injury. But how easy would it have been if you were in Victor Arvidsson's shoes to buy into what people were saying about you, to let that define you instead of knowing inherently what you possessed? You can listen to the hype, but buying into it can become your biggest problem. Now, you can't tell those folks that say nice things about you that you don't believe them, but you have to believe them yourself. You can't just listen to people give you lip service, because the closer you get, especially in sports, to making a lot of money, a whole lot of people are going to start to say really nice things about you because they want to be on that gravy train after the fact. Kevin Dodd, inside his own mind, once that foot went wrong for him, as he's looked at his future in the NFL, and maybe he thinks he's going to be able to latch on somewhere else, but he's not really putting his resume out there in a positive light right now. But Arvidsson went the other way. And maybe, and as he said, look, he worked on his game hard. But you don't go out there and work hard if you don't think you can actually get there. Like I said, I'm not in the gym on the treadmill 30 minutes a day, or I'm not trying to lift weights that might be a little bit much for me just to knock them up there 5 times. And then maybe the next day I can get it up there 6 times, and then maybe 7 times. Eventually I can do a full rep. Then all of a sudden I'm a little bit stronger and I can keep doing it. I'm not going to do that if I don't know in my heart that eventually I'm going to get that strength that maybe I don't have right now. And so I continue to believe that a large part of this Kevin Dodd situation centers around the fact that he doesn't believe in his own foot. He believes his body has betrayed him. And I think that that has at least dropped some level of toxic waste into his mind about his worth as an athlete. Hopefully, in his personal life, he's still got all the confidence in the world and he's a happy guy. But the football player that he could have been, he probably never will be. And I don't mean obviously with the Titans where it ends here, but if he's able to find another team, because it's really hard to recover lost confidence when you did not have that much of a firm foundation to build on. Tiger Woods, we're seeing what he's able to do now. He's changed his game up a little bit. But Tiger Woods can look back to a long, long stretch where he was so dominant. And he can look back at that even at his age now at 42 and still say, I had that once. I can craft this. I know how to play this game. He had a large sample size. You heard Mike Dettillier, when we played that audio in the last segment, say he was a one-year wonder at Clemson, was Kevin Dodd. He didn't have that much to look back on. He heard a lot of people tell him he was great. He got hurt, and all of a sudden he stopped believing he was great. And I think that that changed everything about his mindset, and it led to the news today that he has been released, or will be released, by the Tennessee Titans before camp even officially opens. So the Kevin Dodd era ends, in large part, in my opinion, because of how much confidence matters and about how much an absence of it can kill. Final segment up next, Big Six, 104.5 The Zone.
Everybody.
Final segment, Big Six, 104.5 The Zone, Jefferson Starship, Jane from the late 70s. Also the title track, the lead song for my Wet Hot American Summer, which you may have seen on Netflix. Love this beat. wasn't alive. Well, I was alive in 78. I'm not sure. I think this might have been 77, actually. It may have come out before I was born. If not, I wasn't listening to it. My parents weren't big Jefferson Starship fans, in case you were curious. We talked a lot of confidence tonight, and we've been confidently talking tonight as well. I laid out six examples for you of confidence leading to the Big Six, which was Kevin Dodd and his exit from Nashville, which is now basically official. Came out a couple of hours ago. Apparently it happened this morning, and they were able to kind of keep it under wraps and then release it themselves. A couple of hours ago, you heard Jim Wyatt on 3HL. We let you hear from Mike Dettillier and what he said pre-draft in 2016 about Kevin Dodd being a one-year wonder but having a lot of potential and having all the raw talent. But we laid out some other examples for you as well. Some guys that have to have even more confidence than most are college football coaches. Jim Harbaugh said at Big Ten Media Days that he was in favor of expanding the playoffs. He said that yesterday. Of course he is. Michigan is the fifth best team in the Big Ten. Wisconsin, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, put them in whatever order you want to. They're all better programs right now than Michigan. And I saw some people saying today you need to be patient with Jim Harbaugh. How patient do you need to be? How long does that rope need to be for Jim Harbaugh before he starts to actually win games? I mean, he's winning games, but he's not winning enough. I mean, they're not even close to the college football playoff, nor should they be. Another guy that has come out in favor of playoff expansion, he's done this every year, is one of the guys that was involved in the UT coaching search in Mike Gundy, who decided again to stay at Oklahoma State. And he has basically said, and he said last year, I think they're going to have to go to eight teams. I understand the academic requirements. The conference championship, somebody's going to win it and not get in. In my opinion, they should have eight. If you win your conference, you're in. And then just a couple of days ago, he said the Power Five conference champs, two wild cards, and another group of five team. If you're at a smaller group of five school, he says, you essentially have no chance to win a national championship because you'll never get in, and I don't think that's fair. Now, I agree that you should expand the playoff to eight. Harbaugh, I think last year at least, said he wanted it to go to 16. But let's not mistake the reason why Mike Gundy and Jim Harbaugh are so in favor of playoff expansion in college football, because Oklahoma State is usually not at the top of the Big 12. And Michigan, like we just said, is not one of the teams generally competing in the Big Ten championship game. Maybe that's going to change, but we've seen no real examples of it so far. And guess what? On the other side of the aisle is a guy that says there are pros and cons. He said that today on television. That there are pros and cons to the college football playoff situation, but he thinks changing from a four team would lessen the value. He says, and I'll tell you who he is, I'm not responsible for the system that determines who gets into playoffs, but I think they did a good job of determining. And we can have another discussion about the future of the playoffs and how many teams should get in, but you're going to minimize the effect of bowl games, which I stood up here 10 years ago and said, as soon as we do this, it's going to diminish bowl games. Everybody would just be interested in the playoffs. That's where we are right now. We got players choosing not to play in bowl games because it's not important, because they're going to save themselves for the draft. Then he starts talking about philosophical questions. That's not what he's paid to do. That gentleman's name, by the way, is Nick Saban. And one thing about Nick Saban is he's been in the CFP every year. The only school, as a matter of fact, to do that. He has appeared in every college football playoff since its inception, and he has no issue with the game's current four-team system. I imagine he doesn't. So there's opportunists on both sides. Look, obviously bowl games are going to have less significance, but how much less significance are they going to have than they do right now, which, in my opinion, they have zero. They exist to make money solely. Whether or not it's guys that are preparing for the draft like Fournette deciding, I'm not going to play in that game, doesn't even really have anything to do with it. It just shows how meaningless they are. They're exhibitions. They mean less than a regular season game. Even if it's two ranked opponents. Central Florida beating Auburn to me didn't mean anything. It's one of the reasons I thought it was so bogus that Central Florida kept calling themselves the uncrowned national champion, or the one that did, or the student body that did, or the parts of the team that continued to try and push that out. Because you really think Auburn showed up just ready to fire and believed that they needed to compete at a high level in the Peach Bowl? I mean, Peach Bowl is a big game, but who cares? That win was going to mean absolutely nothing to anybody, except it was going to be another W. It wasn't going to lead them anywhere. the regular season actually leads you to hopefully play in a college football playoff if you're one of the teams lucky enough at that standpoint to be considered, to be one of the teams that's in the knockout round in that room with that committee that's making the decision. So to me, bowl games already have no significance. So I don't know why adding four more teams to the playoff would give them less significance. It would just give the regular season a little bit more significance. In my opinion, it would give more teams something to fight for. I don't think you need to go more than eight. We've come to a spot in the NCAA basketball tournament where there's so many teams that the sport is now 3 weeks long. The NCAA tournament is all you need to watch. Not even a conference tournament, really, except for the automatic bids. But those are generally exhibitions. Well, why are we watching the regular season? If you're good at all, you're going to get into the tournament. People talking about snubs for the 65th team. Like, oh, this guy should have gotten in at 65. Drexel, like Dick Vitale always talks about. Drexel got robbed. Drexel, poor Drexel, the small guy got robbed. Drexel would have gotten in the like 64th or 65th spot. Cry me a river. Everybody gets in. Same thing, there's too many teams to get into the NBA playoffs as well. My former employer used to say that, and he's absolutely right. You don't need to have too many teams. I think four keeps it really elite in college football, but eight, to me, is probably the perfect number. Going any more than that, in my opinion, probably not going to work out for you all that well. All right, let's give you a little bit of pop culture here on the way out, and then I'm going to get you your stat to send you off to Michaels and Mueller. Tonight it's going to be Ned and Barney Allery talking all about the British Open. That's going to be fun. I can't wait to hear it. Last week, a really cool movie celebrated its 30th anniversary. It came out in 1988. And ironically, my favorite movie of all time celebrated its 10th anniversary just a little bit earlier this month. That's The Dark Knight. But everybody likes a good buddy comedy, and you can point out all sorts of examples. But Alan Sepinwall of Rolling Stone wrote a really good article that you can find talking about his favorite movie. Midnight Run, Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin. And if you have not watched this film, you're going to thank me for telling you to go find it. Language is a little bit rough. It's an R-rated movie from 1988. But if you can get past that, it's a tremendous 2 hours. Simple story. De Niro, a former cop, now a bounty hunter, tasked to find an accountant who attempted to steal and distribute millions from a big-time mob boss. A lot of good comedy. Great ending. Chemistry is great. Casting is great. Find this movie. It is a great 1980s movie. Truly great, and it holds up a lot. Midnight Run, 30th anniversary. Read the article from Alan Sepinwall as well, but definitely watch it. All right, we got 1 minute left. We're going to make you smarter in a segment we like to call... Things that make you ooh. Things that make you go ooh. This is from Warren Sharp. Talking about the Rams, Sean McVay, one of the reasons for his success and why his offense was so prolific last year is because they used Todd Gurley smarter and more often as a receiver on early downs, not on third down. In 2016, Gurley had 48 targets, 38% success rate as a receiver, 4.4 yards per attempt. 2017, 73 targets, 8.8 yards per attempt, and a 49% success rate. That should make you go, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. God bless and good night. Michaels and Mueller up next. Stick around.